2 Chronicles 29, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This morning I'd like to continue looking at just what I'm calling commonly asked questions about the gospel. We've done this for about the last month in the AM service. We've looked at, why does God allow suffering? Why do I need Jesus? Why do I need the church? Why do I need the Bible? And this morning I would like to address a separate question, and that is, what about instruments? When we have visitors come to our assembly, almost always the first question that's asked is, where's the piano? Where's the organ? Where's the guitar? Where's the instruments? And what I would like to do this morning is to try to address this question, why does the Manseck Road Church sing without instruments in our assemblies? So this, I think, is a very common question. Why do we sing without instruments of music? This morning, I'll tell you at the forefront, this sermon's going to be a bit longer than most of my sermons. We're probably going to be 45 to 50 minutes, so please just be patient with me. But this is an issue I've never preached on here. And for us to really answer this question sufficiently, I really think we need to do some good study in the Old Testament to really understand this issue before we go to the New Testament and observe a few principles. This evening, what my plan is to look at singing in the New Testament. We're not going to be in the New Testament, but maybe 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the lesson, we're going to spend almost all of our time in the Old Testament. And by the time we're done, what I just want to try to do is give a rationale for why we here as a collective do not use instruments of music in our assembly. Personally, this is a question I had for a long time. I mean, growing up, I went to a Baptist church, some as well, and that was a big difference, right? We don't have instruments. And for a long time, honestly, thought it was a non-issue. I was very ambivalent toward it and just didn't feel that it was even worth talking about. It wasn't until I went in the Old Testament and really saw the importance of the issue in the Old Testament that I began to rethink my position on it a little bit. And so this morning, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you one assumption, just one that I'm going to make. We're then going to spend almost all of our time looking at music in the Old Testament, and then we're going to spend a bit of time looking at music in the New Testament. So let me tell y'all my one assumption that I'm making, and that is this. The Bible guides all spiritual activity. If a verse is underlined this morning, we're going to turn there. If it's not underlined, it's there for your reference. I believe firmly the Bible guides all spiritual activity. For us then to be able to answer any question about spiritual activity, we have to go to the Bible. The Bible is not a book to tell us how to be healthy physically. It's not a cookbook. It's not a construction manual. It's not a technological guide. The Bible is there to regulate spiritual activity. Based on this assumption, I also claim this: worship is a spiritual activity. I believe that the worship that we give to God is a spiritual activity. And then taking these two together, I believe this, that the Bible regulates worship. And this, I think, is really where we need to agree before we go any further in the lesson. If the Bible does indeed regulate all spiritual activity, and worship is indeed a spiritual activity, then logically then the Bible does regulate worship. For us to be able to answer this question, the only means that I'm going to use is the inspired Word of God. We're going to try to go to the Bible to see what does the Bible say about this. And so then the question then is this: what does the Bible say about how we should worship, particularly in song? So let's go to the Old Testament. As you go back to the Old Testament, musical instruments are certainly in the Old Testament. I think perhaps by the time we finish our study, they're not as common as you may assume, but they are certainly in the Old Testament. But here's the important principle. God authorized musical instruments in the Old Testament. As we are going to look at two kings of Israel that sought to restore worship, I want us to see what's going on with each of these kings. And so one verse that I'm just going to read briefly, this is with Jehoiada. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Here Jehoiada the priest says, Jehoiada posted watchmen for the house of Yahweh under the direction of the Levitical priests and the Levites whom David had organized to be charge of the house of Yahweh to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing, with singing, according to the order of David. During this time period, Jehoiada was seeking to help Joash, the king of Judah, restore temple worship. And as Jehoiada then seeks to restore temple worship, let's notice what he does. He organizes the Levitical priest, and he does this according to the order of David, as it is written in the law of Moses. Okay? Jehoiada goes back to the law. Now, I want to spend this a bit more time with Hezekiah. King Hezekiah does just an overarching restoration of temple worship. And in 2 Chronicles 29, I want us to read beginning in verse 25 down through verse 30. And let's note two things. Let's note how does he do this, and let's note by what authority he does this. So 2 Chronicles 29, 25. And Hezekiah stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was from Yahweh through his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded the burnt offering to be offered at the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song to Yahweh began, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly worshipped. The singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to Yahweh with the words of David and of Asaph. And they sang praises with gladness and bowed down in worship. So King Hezekiah seeks to restore temple worship. How does he do this, first of all? Well, let's notice what all he does. In verse 26, he has the Levites stand with the instruments of David. Then he has the priests with their trumpets. Then he has the burnt offering going. And then, verse 28, the whole assembly worshiped. But let's notice two things. The singer sang. Not everybody's singing. The command of David has specific people singing. Also, verse 29. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshiped. And then Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praise to Yahweh with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. In this assembly, not everybody was singing. I think that's a fallacy we have in the old law. We are so used to collective worship that we are used to everybody singing. In the Old Testament assemblies, it would have been particular appointed singers and particular appointed instrumentalists. So that's how he restores it. By what authority does he do it? Verse 25. Hezekiah stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres. According, let's note all the authority here. According to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. So let's know what people so far. He does this according to David and of Gad and of Nathan. But then ultimately, this commandment was from the Lord through Yahweh through his prophets. When Hezekiah brings instruments back into the temple, he does this by specific authority. He recognizes God had given specific command to David, through Gad, through Nathan, through the prophets. And the authority in this verse to me is overwhelming. The reason that Hezekiah does this is not because he thinks it would be a nice addition. It's because he has specific authority from the law to do this. And let's note the particular phrase, the commandment was from the Lord. Brethren, we need to recognize the reason that instruments were used in the old law was because the commandment was from Yahweh. The commandment was from the Lord. The reason that Israel is a whole and the reason that we see instruments in the old law is because the commandment was from the Lord. Again, the Bible regulates all spiritual activity. Worship is a spiritual activity. Therefore, the Bible regulates worship. In the old law, God's commandments regulate all spiritual activity. Worship is a spiritual activity. Therefore, the commands of God regulate spiritual activity. It was from the law. And also note this, the implementation of instruments came with the reign of David. And this is a pattern we're going to see here in a second. Before the time of David, there was not the use of instruments in their collective assembly. Hezekiah and Jehoiada, both of them recognized, this is about 300 years after David, both of them recognized that the reason that the instrument should be brought back is because it was given to David through the prophets from God. David implemented this ultimately because he had authority from God. So here's the question I want us to examine then. If instruments came in the time of David, and I'm going to take us to those passages in about 10 minutes, I want us to ask this question. What is musical worship like before David? if instruments are introduced in the assembly of Israel in the time of David, what was worship like, musical worship like, before the time of David? Well, there's not a lot told, actually. I want us to turn back to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. One principle we need to keep in mind is this. When the old law speaks of worship, it is much more speaking of a sacrificial system than it is of musical worship. You'll notice even in Hezekiah's restoration, as they fall down in worship, they then tell the Levites to sing. When all the people worshiped, it meant they gave themselves over to God in sacrifice. They gave themselves over to God in worship. The worship of the old law was not one of music, it was one of sacrifice. And sacrifice is the central concept of Old Testament worship. We do, however, read a little bit about instruments in the old law. Let's look at Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. Numbers 10, 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets of hammered work, you shall make them. And you shall use them for summoning the congregation for breaking camp. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting." Down to verse 10. "On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God, I am the Lord your God." Trumpets in the old law did indeed accompany sacrifices. And this is a pattern I think we're going to notice. Throughout the old covenant, sacrifices are accompanied by instruments. And instruments really seem to be within the context of the giving of sacrifices over to God. And in particular, we won't take the time to turn there, but if you look at Numbers 29, Numbers 29 speaks of the Feast of Trumpets, where they would have the burnt offerings and literally they would play trumpets over the sacrifices. So to get the image in our mind, this is not a group of Levites singing accompanied by a trumpet. This is sacrifices being offered with trumpets being played over the sacrifices. It seems that singing would not have been in this context. This is just sacrifices with the accompaniment of an instrument. Beyond this, no other command in the law relates to music. As you go through Leviticus, the last 20 chapters of Exodus, a good part of Numbers, and all of Deuteronomy, nothing else is said about instruments. Only Numbers 10 and Numbers 29, the only commands in the law that relate to instruments. Now let's note this then. As you go back to the time of the patriarchs and to the time of Moses, usually, and I'll say the great pattern, individual worship was singing. The individual musical worship they gave over to God, it was not one accompanied by instruments, but it was one of singing. A couple examples of this. Moses has his famous song to the Lord, recorded in Exodus 15. After Israel comes out of the Red Sea, they come out of Egypt. Moses then has this great song that he sings. It's a cappella. It's without any accompaniments of instruments. Likewise, as you go to Deuteronomy 32, right before his death, Moses has another song that he sings with the people. When Moses and the people sing together, they sing without instruments. They sing a cappella to God. Another example of this, you go to the time of Judges, Deborah sings to the Lord, but again, Deborah sings without instruments to God. The pattern that develops throughout the time of the patriarchs, the time of Moses, the time of Joshua doesn't mention but trumpets, the time of the judges, up through the time of David, singing was a cappella. There is no mention in the law of the singing having been accompanied by instruments. A couple of exceptions you may be thinking of, and I want to deal with them quickly. The first is this. This is a common one. Miriam does indeed play a tambourine. You remember that Miriam is the sister of Moses, and after they come out of the Red Sea, Miriam in Exodus 15 does play an instrument in worship. But I think it's really important to understand this. They also play tambourines to God in Exodus 32 when they have the golden calf. I am convinced if you compare Exodus 15 and Exodus 32, the reason that Miriam played a tambourine from God was not because she had received authority from God from it, but it was a practice that she had picked up in Egypt. So then when the women, it's only the women in Exodus 15, no men play instruments, which is sharply contrasted with the time of David. As you go to the time of David, only the men, priests, Levites would have been the ones playing. So a sharp contrast there. But as you go to Exodus 15, Miriam does play a tambourine to God, but it does not seem that was authorized by God. I really think that was a practice that she had picked up in Egypt. And that's why we also see it at the golden calf in Exodus 32. As you go through the rest of the Old Testament, looking for examples of music leading up to the time of David, overarchingly, there's very few examples. The only example is really this, signal trumpets. I've given just a few examples. There's dozens in the Old Testament. Trumpets were the only frequently mentioned instrument in the Old Law. So remember this trumpets that were played over the sacrifices. These trumpets would have also been used in battle to call everybody together. They also would have been used as a signal to call all the people together for worship. So trumpets are the most frequently mentioned instrument in the entire Old Testament. But the main purpose of the instrument was more as a signal rather than accompaniment to singing. So let's note where we are. As you go up through the time of David, you really don't see instruments accompanying music. The only example you see is with Miriam. And again, I'm not convinced that that was authorized by God. Up through the time of David, the singing was a cappella. Moses' example, Deborah's example, you can also go to Numbers 21, there's another example. It seems that the music was really a cappella. You do see secular examples of music. You go to Genesis 4, for example, the lyre of Jubal. Jubal, even in musical history, is known as the, Sir Matt knows this as a musical historian. Jubal is known as the first instrumentalist in the Bible. That was secular purpose in Genesis chapter 4. But for religious worship, it's really all that we have. Well, let's go to the time of David then. I'm going to take us from about 1400 BC during the time of Moses, about 1000 BC to the time of David. What then is worship like in the time of David? Well, let's note this. David does play his harp, but I think this is a common misconception. David does play his harp, but he does not play his harp for the Lord. David is known for playing his harp, but the reason that he plays his harp is to soothe Saul. So, as you look at 1 Samuel 16 and compare this with 18 and 19, these examples, Saul was afflicted by an evil spirit at this time. David then is called before the king, Saul at this time, and is called, play your harp for him to soothe him. The reason that David, a skilled harpist, was called to the king was not to play a harp as worship to God, but the purpose of this was to soothe the king. So was David a harpist? Yes. Was he an instrumentalist? Yes. And I think it may be some of David's personal inclinations that are commands from God that may be the reason we have some of the implementation during his time period. But still, David's earliest recordings of being a harpist were not as examples of worship. And here's the critical point. This is the critical point we must understand. David did make changes, but they were according to God's command, and they were also because of a specific event in Israel's history. Now, we won't take the time to turn back there, but if you remember in 2 Chronicles 29:25, Hezekiah implements instruments by the command of David, given by the prophet Gad, given by the prophet Nathan, according to the commandments of the Lord, as through the prophets. Okay? Ultimately, all of David's changes that he makes to worship, they are commands from God. The implementation of instruments in the collective assemblies of Israel, it was as a commandment from God. It was not just a device that David himself thought of. It was given from God. Why then does he do this? Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Why then does worship change during the time of David? Well, I think the reason, well, I don't think, I know the reason worship changes during the time of David is because the ark rested. Up until this point, the Ark of the Covenant had been moved for about 400 years. The Levites, and a particular group of Levites, were the ones who were charged with moving the tabernacle. At this point, David wants to give God a permanent resting place for his ark, a permanent home for his tabernacle. God is going to say, David, it's not going to be you who's going to build it, but it's going to be your son. But David is still the one who brings the ark to a rest, and then Solomon, his son, is going to build the temple. Let's note, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 5. For I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up to Israel this day, but I have gone from tent to tent and from dwelling to dwelling. Let's skip down to verse 9. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall waste them no more as formerly. The reason then that God gives commands to David to change the worship is because the ark rested. The ark was where God met the people. And then whenever the ark comes to a rest, God gives specific commands to David, and David carries out specific commands of God, changing the nature of worship. Before this, it really seems that except for the Feast of Trumpets and the burnt offerings, music would have been void from the collective assembly. Now at this point, music itself is going to come into their collective assembly. So I want us to make note of three different things that David specifies. When David goes throughout making these changes, these are not arbitrary changes that he makes. These are extremely specific changes. So three examples. Number one, David specified the Levites' role from moving of the tabernacle to instrumentalists. If you go back to Numbers chapter 4, Moses had given in Numbers chapter 4 very specific roles for the Levites as they moved the tabernacle. As then, they would have been out of a job. David reassigns them as the singers and the instrumentalists. And you go to 1 Chronicles 23 and 1 Chronicles 25, particularly in 1 Chronicles 25. In 1 Chronicles 25, you can find a whole list of individuals that are going to be the instrumentalists during that time period. David specifies who is going to play them. People from Benjamin could not play instruments. People from Judah could not play Benjamin. The only individuals that would be able to play instruments to God were the Levites. And that, I think, is why when Jehoiada and Hezekiah restore the worship, the Levites are the ones who play the instruments. It's the Levites, okay? David also specifies the instruments: lyres, cymbals, harps, trumpets, and singers. I wanted to go to 1 Chronicles 16. In 1 Chronicles 16, this gives us a beautiful description of the worship that would have been given before the ark. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 37. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 37. So David left Asaph, his brother, there before the ark of the covenant and of the Lord to minister regularly before the ark as each day required. And also Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa were to be. And he left Zodak the priest and his brothers, the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord, in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the burnt offering, regularly morning and evening, to do all that is written in the law of the Lord that he commanded Israel. With them were Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest of those chosen and expressly named, to give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Herman and Jeduthun had trumpets and cymbals for the music, and instruments for sacred song. The sons of Jeduthun were appointed to the gate. Then all the people departed each to his house, and David went home to bless the household. You'll notice that David specifies what instruments are to be used: lyres, trumpets, and also singers. These are the only instruments. Later, had Hezekiah also wanted to implement a drum? Am I not loud enough, Jeff? I turned it off, didn't I? I turned it off whenever I kicked it off. Am I good? Thank you. Well, whenever Hezekiah did his reinstituted the instruments, you'll note it says specifically, both Jehoiada and Hezekiah, they play the instruments of David. That specifically mentioned the instruments of David. The specificity of the instrument was not left to ambiguity, but David himself specified what instruments were to be played. Also, let's note this: David specifies that the instruments were to accompany the sacrifices at the temple. They were not playing instruments whenever they wanted. The instruments and the singing were to appoint the sacrifices. And that's a pattern, I think, that we saw develop in Numbers 10 as well. The main reason for these instruments in the old law was to accompany the sacrifices. I am not aware of collective examples of this anywhere in the Old Testament that go beyond the sacrifices. There is a connection between instruments and the Levites. There's a connection between instruments and sacrifices. There's a connection between instruments and the temple. David specified the who, the Levites, the where, the temple, the what, instruments, the how, at the sacrifices, and the why, as worship to God for the sacrifices. So you'll notice when David gave these commands, David did not leave any of this up to ambiguity. David had received from God, through Nathan and the prophets, to him specific commands of what he was to change and also what he was not to change. David only makes changes according to the commandments of God and makes very specific changes. Well, what then happens after David in the rest of the Old Covenant? As you go after captivity, Israel returned to the order of David. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 12. We've been studying through the book of Nehemiah. And there's a phrase that's been to pop up a few times in the book, but I want us to read it in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 44. Nehemiah chapter 12 will begin in verse 44. On that day, men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, the tithes, to gather to them the first portions required by the law for the priest and for the Levites, according to the fields of the towns, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. And they performed the service of their God in service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors and the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. Why do Ezra and Nehemiah make these specific changes? They make it according to the command of David. Jehoiada made changes according to the commandment of David. Hezekiah made changes according to the commandment of David. Nehemiah made changes according to the commandment of David. And remember, for them to make changes according to the commandment of David, that's an extremely important phrase. This was telling who was to play them, the Levites, what instruments they were to play, when they were to play them, where they were to play them, for what reason they were to play them, and how they were to play them. David's commands were extremely specific. So before I make a couple of summary thoughts before we go into the New Testament, I want to deal with just one other question. What about the Psalms? Aren't the Psalms just full of instrumental music? Actually not. As you go throughout the Psalms, there's only 16 Psalms that mention instrumental music. Percentage-wise, only 10% of the Psalms mention instrumental music. The other 90% are a cappella. These are the 16 Psalms, and I'm going to go pretty quick, Autumn, so you can get these from me another time as you take notes. But as you look at these verses, these are, again, not giving specific doctrinal decrees. All that the Psalm gives is they give songs that would have been played. And brethren, I have full assurance, should Psalm 150, a very famous example of instrumental music, should Psalm 150 have been used in the collective assembly, who would have been playing those instruments? I can guarantee you the Levites would have been playing those instruments. Where would they have been playing them? They would have been playing them at the temple. Why would they have been playing them? Because of the purpose of sacrifices. What instruments would they have been played? Only the ones that were given by the command of David. There is no verse in the Psalms that contradict the principles of Chronicles. The only explanation of the Psalms behind this is it's giving Psalms rather than doctrinal regulations that they would have carried out. They would have done all of this according to the decrees of Chronicles. So I want to make three summary points before we go to the New Testament. Number one, all was done according to the commandment of the Lord and of David. Every example of instrumental music that you see that is authorized by God in the old law, it was according to the commandment of David. Number two, musical instruments accompanied sacrifices at the temple. They were not played all the time. They had a specific context of when they were played, and they had a specific context of where they were played. Number three, David specified the instruments and the instrumentalists, the Levites. David left this very specific. So before we go on, let me just take 1 second for an aside here. For a long time, I said I was ambivalent about this issue. I thought it was blown out of proportion. I really didn't think it was that big of a deal because I knew they played instruments in the old law. But brother, once I took the time, and I can provide you the examples of all the very, I've done almost an exhaustive study. There's maybe 10 other verses in the old law I didn't cover about instruments in the old law. They all are according to the command of David. But every example that you see is very specific by the command of David. God, for some reason, cares about this issue. God, because it relates to his worship, cares about this issue. And when Hezekiah and Jehoiada and Nehemiah and Ezra make changes, they do all this according to the commandment of David. If Jehoiada, one of my favorite characters of the old law that Richard and I have been studying about recently, if Jehoiada made these changes according to the commandment of David, I as a Christian need to care enough to see what the order of David was. So that then begs the question, why then don't we use instruments of music here? If it is according to the order of David to have instruments of music, why then don't we have them? I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. By the way, I know I went really fast through those slides. If y'all want a copy of those slides, you're more than welcome to have them. I know I went really fast, but I wanted to do a bird's eye view of instruments in the old law to see when they were introduced, when they weren't used, when they were used, why they were used, etc. And hopefully you at least feel familiar enough now with when and where they were used in the old law. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness. Yes. The first covenant, this is the covenant of the old law, had regulations for worship, your translation may say sacrifice, and an earthly place of holiness. The Hebrew author recognizes that the old law had these regulations. It had these specific regulations for worship. Specific regulations about the sacrifices, about the feasts, about the worship, about the priesthood, and yes, even about the music that was to be played. But as we now look to the new covenant, Christ has given his sacrifice. We look at Hebrews chapter 9 and skip down to verse 13. If the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The old law had regulations about worship that related to sacrifices. Christ has now given his one sacrifice. And as Christ has given his one sacrifice, all the other sacrifices that were made before have been fulfilled. All of them looked forward to Christ, and they looked forward to the new covenant. And now that Christ has given his blood that is far more precious than the blood of bulls and goats, the nature of worship has changed. Worship has changed because Christ died. The nature of our worship, the practice of our worship, and the form of our worship has changed because Christ has died. The cross changed everything. In the old law, the instruments accompanied the sacrifices. Christ has now given his one sacrifice once and for all. Just as the sacrifice has changed, the order and the regulations around the worship and around the sacrifices has changed. And that is why then worship regulations of the old law are made void. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 13. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to vanish away. Chapter 10 verse 1. Since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, and so the true form of these realities, it can never by the same sacrifices that are offered continually every year make perfect those who draw near. We do not live under the old law. We do not live under the old covenant because Christ has fulfilled the old covenant. Christ made void the old law when he died because the old law was a national covenant that was looking forward to something better. And when that better sacrifice of Jesus was offered, Christ then instituted a new covenant that Jeremiah 31 talks about. Now, does this mean then that the nature of the two laws are different? You can go to 2 Corinthians 3 to answer that. I'm not saying, first of all, let me clarify this. I'm not saying the old law had regulations for worship. The new law lets us worship however we want. I'm not saying the old law was one of commandments. The new law is one of love. I'm not saying the old law was a God of vindictiveness, the new law is a God of forgiveness. There is not that distinction between the two laws. But the practices of them have changed immensely because Jesus Christ has died. And because of this then, Because the sacrifice has changed, the worship has changed. What then under the new law is the form of worship that we offer? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Through Christ, let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. We no longer have instrumental music for the same reason we no longer have burnt offerings, peace offerings, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, the Levitical priesthood, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Judah, or the order of David. Because the sacrifice of Christ has given us a new and better covenant. And brethren, under the old law, only the Levites in their assemblies would sing. Only a specific portion of the Levites were appointed as singers. The sons of Korah, the sons of Asaph. They were the specific ones that were allowed to sing. Now under the new covenant, all can sing. All can offer up praise to God. All men everywhere, 1 Peter 2 verse 5 tells us, are a part of the holy priesthood of God. And because God has made His holy priesthood of His believers and of His followers, all of us as priests of Jesus Christ are able to offer up praise and singing and worship to God. And that, brethren, is the form of worship of the new covenant. So I'm going to make a few summary claims in a second, but let me just take you through my personal thoughts on this. Why don't I want there to be instrumental music here? I play piano. I used to be really good. I'm not as good anymore. I wish I were. But I still love it. There is just something that is just calming about sitting down with Pachelbel's canon and going through all those chords. I mean, it's just a calming thing. And I really enjoy it. And it sounds nice. I mean, it really does. It sounds really good. Not always when I play, but if you want to hear a really good YouTube pianist, Kyle Landry is the best piano player you will ever hear on YouTube. Oh, he's wonderful. I enjoy listening to piano music. But Christ has died. When Christ died, He made void the old law. He made void the commandments of David. He made void the worship order of David. And He has now given us a new covenant that gives us a truer form of spiritual worship. Why don't I want to use instruments of music? I don't want to go back to the order of David. I don't want to go back to the time before Christ died. I want to live on this side of the cross. I want to live on this side of the new covenant, where all men everywhere, all men and women can come to Jesus Christ through faith. Everyone can be a part of the holy priesthood of God. I want to be on this side of the covenant. And I want to give the God my sacrifice through the fruit of the lips that He's given. This evening, we are going to go in depth in the New Testament to see what the New Testament says about worship, musical worship. But I'll give you a quick summary of the lesson. There is not one place in the entire New Covenant where God mentions instruments of music. There's just this void. Remember, in the Old Covenant, it was specified what instruments, who was to play them, where they were to play them, when they were to play them. In the New Covenant, we have singing, a spiritual sacrifice that is given up to our God where we can praise Him. Well, let me deal with one question that still may be in your mind. Don't they use instruments of music in the book of Revelation? Yes, they do. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, and let's read verse 22. Actually, let's start in verse 21. Revelation chapter 18, verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, and will there be found no more? And the sound of the harpists and the musicians, of flute players, of trumpeters, will be heard no more." If you look at the book of Revelation, passages like these that mention instruments of music are used in a symbolic way. But I think they're used in a symbolic way to reference back to the old law. The reason I think Revelation does not authorize us to use instrumental music today is this. Revelation offers images in light of the Old Testament. These images that are given in the book of Revelation, they are not in any way, shape, or form an image of what you see in the New Covenant. Rather, John uses various of these type Old Testament images to hearken back to the Old Covenant. This passage here, for example, is taken from the book of Isaiah. And he uses passages like these to hearken back and look at what the nature of that was like. So to me, when you look at the book of Revelation and understand its context, the book of Revelation, and it does not speak for the authority for us to use instruments. If anything, it shows that they were authorized under the old covenant, but as the covenant has changed, they're no longer authorized. So 3 points to conclude. I appreciate your kind attention so much this morning. I know I've talked a lot, and I know I've gone on with a lot, but I appreciate your kind attention. Why don't we use instruments of music? 3 points. Number one is this. As the temple is destroyed, the Levites are extinct, we cannot play them in worship. My question is this, brethren. If we want to bring back instruments of music, we are going to have to do so according to the order of David. According to the order of David, the Levites played them at the temple. I'm not a Levite. Who's going to play them? What instruments are we going to play? Where are we going to play them? We're not at the temple. The order has changed. If we want to follow the commandment of David and follow the order of David, we would need to do so according to his specificity. Number two is this. As Christ has given his better sacrifice, we cannot play in conjunction with sacrifices. Throughout the Old Covenant, instruments accompany sacrifices. Christ has given his better sacrifice. And that is the reason we no longer have sin offerings and burnt offerings and guilt offerings and peace offerings. We have a better sacrifice. And as Christ has given that better sacrifice, we have no more need of animal sacrifices, meaning we have no more need of instruments of music. It accompanied especially the burnt offerings in the old law, but now under the new law, the sacrifice has changed. Number three is this. Our form of musical worship, using the term of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, is better. That is singing from the heart. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8 through Hebrews chapter 10, it is probably my favorite section of the entire New Testament. Because what it does is it paints this beautiful picture of the true form of realities that are given in Christ. The shadow was in the law. The substance is in Christ. The partial was in the law. The fullness is in Christ. The physical worship of the old law has been fulfilled with a spiritual worship of the new. And brethren, it is my pleasure to praise and sing to and worship my God by giving him my sacrifice of the lips. Because Jesus has died. He has saved me. And let us sing to him and let us praise him. Get out your songbooks, please. This may not be the first question on your mind this morning. As I said at the beginning of this lesson, I started with an assumption. I started with the assumption that the Bible guides all spiritual activity, and I talked about that last Sunday morning. If you weren't here, you can get a copy of that CD, about how I believe with all my being that the Bible is the inspired word of God that guides our lives, that guides our spiritual activity, and that should guide what we do, what we say, how we think, how we live, and how we are. I believe that God, through his word, has given us a book that speaks his mind to humanity and gives us a light of how to live and indeed how to worship. If anyone this morning wants to come to that beautiful gospel, brethren, the reason that we are able to sing to our God is because Jesus has died and he has given us a sacrifice and he has given us a gift far beyond what this life could ever offer. He has given us forgiveness, as Richard talked about. He has given us eternal life. He has given us redemption and salvation that the blood of bulls and goats could only imitate. The blood of bulls and goats for over 1,000 years could only imitate what Christ was going to do. But through that one sacrifice for all time, Jesus Christ died and he saved us and we are now able to sing to him. If anybody this morning wants to come to Jesus, to come to the cross, or you have fallen from the cross and you want to come back to the cross of Jesus Christ and live a light in the light of his word, come forward while we stand and while we sing.